I'm Julie Mason, and today we're marking the opening of the George W. Bush Presidential Library in Dallas. I'm so pleased our next guest could join us today. It's Jim McGrath. He's President George H.W. Bush's post-White House spokesman and speechwriter. He's a partner at Begala McGrath Strategic Communications. From 1997 to 98, Jim served as deputy press secretary for George W. Bush's re-election campaign for governor of Texas. He tweets at JGM41. Jim, thanks so much for being with me.
Great to be with you, Julie, as always.
Now, we have seen a picture recently, very controversial, of George H.W. Bush surrounded by Texan cheerleaders, and I'm very, very curious about that.
Yes, if you're worried about his recovery following the hospitalization, worry no more, because he's been receiving a lot of tender, loving care and a lot of invites. And one of them was to go present roses to the ladies who made the Houston Texans cheerleader squad. So it's tough duty, but somebody had to do it.
He was smiling so hard, it made me laugh out loud.
You know, he still just has that joy for life, and he's out and about now since the hospitalization, and his recovery has been going very well, as I think that picture belies.
The nation really seems to have a deep affection for the father.
You know, I think he harkens back to a time when we were a little more bipartisan, not as polarized. I think I'm biased, of course, but I think our government actually worked under George H.W. Bush. And, you know, when you compare it to the dysfunctionality that seems to be so rampant today, I think people look at a man who tried to do his job, tried to do it with honor and integrity, and tried to, you know, made some tough calls and put the nation's interest against ahead of his own political interest at times. And I think they remember that fondly.
And a nice, humorous, self-deprecating man, too. That really came across.
You know, it didn't as president, I don't think. I think he felt constricted in how he portrayed himself publicly, that a president should behave in a certain manner. But he has one of the very best senses of humor of any person I've ever met. And anybody that knows him will tell you the same thing. He's just got a joy for living and a wonderful, sometimes wicked, sense of humor.
I remember he once compared the press corps to a great frenzying of bluefish.
Yeah, the press corps could sometimes test that sense of humor, but he loved the photographers. He had a wonderful relationship with them, and in the end, he managed to have a very good relationship even with those individual members of the press corps. It's just the pack mentality, though, was something that he still kind of rails against.
And that was even before cable news and some of the other things that give news media today its sort of darker contours.
I think so. I mean, I think we were more print-oriented possibly at that time. The network certainly held greater sway. And so there was more, I think there was a more concentrated influence in the media industry at that time. And it was sometimes tough for the White House to break through. But that's the nature of the business. That's the inherent tension in between the executive and the fourth estate.
My guest is Jim McGrath. He's President George H.W. Bush's post-White House spokesman and speechwriter, a partner at Begala McGrath Strategic Communications in Yeehaw, Texas. So the opening of the George W. Bush Presidential Library, I'm so bummed I can't be there, but it seems like a really fun event and probably very special for the dad as well.
It's going to be historic, no doubt, to have President Obama there with the other living former president, certainly George W. hosting everybody. And yes, George H.W. Bush is very much looking forward to being there, as is his bride of, 68 years now, Barbara Pierce Bush. They're excited. And I understand the building itself is absolutely magnificent. It's LEED certified, so I think even Al Gore will approve of the design. the 43rd president of the United States has already gotten about some serious work there at the center and the institute that really is the public policy arm of that. And they're delving into some serious issues, and they're doing some good.
Now, what is George H.W. Bush's relationship with his own library at Texas A&M University?
Well, Well, it's slightly different in that at the George H.W., we've got to find a way to delineate between the two, but at the George H.W. Presidential Center at Texas A&M University, he has the George Bush School of Government and Public Service, which is a master's program. And it has different disciplines that they focus on, but it's really bent on graduating future leaders, people that are dedicated to public service. They try to set up the tuition and the grants that support most of the students that go there, so they're not saddled with debt when they leave the Bush School. So it's really about graduating people to go on to serve in whatever it is, and it's nonpartisan. So it's Republicans, it's Democrats, there's a strong international contingent. People come from overseas to study at the Bush School. So that's slightly different than the Bush Institute up at SMU in Dallas.
Now, George H.W. Bush has an interesting relationship with some other past presidents. He seemed to really get a kick out of hanging out with Bill Clinton there for a while. And I know there have been some nice photographs of him with President Obama in the Oval, for example. Tell me about that.
Well, I had the distinct privilege of reading President Bush's diary, I'm talking about 41, when he was in the White House. And particularly as it related to the 1992 debate, he had nothing but positive personal things to say about Bill Clinton. They obviously disagreed on policy, and they were both very competitive, and the sharp elbows did come out on occasion. But he had a strong personal regard for Bill Clinton. They had worked together when President Clinton was governor of Arkansas on education issues, and I'm sure others. So there was a strong personal connection there before George W. asked them to work together on tsunami relief, the Indian Ocean tsunami in December of 2004. Then Hurricane Katrina, they worked together on that to raise awareness and raise, I think, $130 million to help hurricane victims or people that had been affected by that massive storm, devastating storm. So they spent a lot of time together, traveling to Asia, traveling through the Gulf Coast, and you can't be around 41 without developing a certain affinity for him. And Bill Clinton's the same way. He's charismatic, and he's got a special gift about him, the way he connects with people, and he threw a lot of energy into those projects. So it was a great collaboration, and I know President Bush misses it.
I remember President George W. Bush making a joke at the gridiron about how Clinton had become another one of the Bush brothers.
A brother from another mother.
Exactly.
They took to saying it. But there's a warm, warm personal family bond between the Bushes and President Clinton, I think. And I know the feeling's mutual as well. And so it's been a wonderful, interesting chapter in their both of their post-presidencies.
You never would have thought it back in the day of the campaign. You know, you could never see these two becoming friends. They seem so different.
Different walks of life, to be sure, different backgrounds, but common interest in service, common interest in moving the country forward. And, of course, you know, when you're in that exclusive club, you share experiences. You've had experiences that only few people on this planet have had. So it's a special bond, and I know it extends to throughout the ex-presidential fraternity, but some people are closer than others, I guess.
Now, George H.W. Bush, Jim, he never wrote a memoir. He released a book of letters, but he's one of the few modern presidents who hasn't written about his experience.
You know, he really wrestled with that, but he just felt like it would be all seen as revisionistic and trying to put a spin on it. The great thing about the book of letters, which is all the best, which just re-released, as a matter of fact, they're all letters that were written in the moment. And so
what do you mean by that, in the moment?
What you get is a picture of his life through the letters that he wrote at the time. So
it's not like
he goes back afterwards and reflects on it and maybe puts a little bit of a spin or some body English on it. The letters are so heartfelt and so candid and full of personality. You know, there's despair in there. There's humor in there, of course. And so it really is an authentic glimpse at this man's life, and it really touched on some historic periods. I mean, World War II, you've got Watergate, You've got when he was in the Congress, you know, you were going through the Open Housing Act and some civil rights issues there. So his career has coincided. It's kind of like Forrest Gump. I mean, he's coincided with so many historic events in our nation's history, certainly in modern history. And it's an interesting book. He did also, I duty bound to mention that he did commission his daughter Doro to write My Father, My President. She kind of wrote his autobiography for him. He cooperated fully with it, as did all the family members. So that's another great book out there as well.
Didn't you work on that book, Jim?
I probably should have disclosed the conflict of interest on that, but I knew an enterprising reporter of your caliber would bring that out for your listeners.
Jim McGrath, he's spokesman for President George H.W. Bush. He's a partner at Begala McGrath Strategic Communications. Thanks so much for joining me. It's always great to chat with you, Jim.
You are a joy, Julie Mason.
Thanks. I'm Julie Mason. This is the Press Pool on POTUS.